quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You are tuned into Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded stolen lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. This episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded stolen lands of the Kitsi, Kwikwetlem, and Stolla First Nations. And here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands, and we thank them for their stewardship. My name is Leslie. We have arrived in June. Okay, it's the beginning of June. And yet, I'm still in May. What is going on? You might be asking yourself. Today's topic is going to be yet again about Asian identity. Really Asianing it up this year on Typically Tuesdays, as though I weren't already Asianing it up. But today's episode of the program is going to be about Asian identity. And I did not want to talk about this topic, actually. To be very honest with you, I might have said it a few times over the course of the years that I've done Typically Tuesdays, but I don't really like to talk about Asian identity and things like that for Asian Heritage Month on the show, because, you know, for more than a decade, I've already been immersed in conversations around identity and Asianness with other Asian people. And I feel like basically every year, as I've gotten older, every year the conversation has gotten a little bit more disappointing, because the solution is really just there. It is the same solution every single year. Very rarely do people seem to grasp that actually Asian identity for liberation, you know, we have to move past representation. We have to move past, you know, wanting to be the very best at everything. We have to dispel the minor minority myth, et cetera, et cetera. Every single year, it just seems to be that way. And so I don't like talking about it for the program. Problem is, though, sometimes your brain is so preoccupied with a bunch of things that it's hard to pay attention to stuff that you actually care about and why that matters to you. If possibly you are a regular listener of the show and you're like, Leslie, are you talking about your debilitating anxiety disorder? Yes, I am. At the same time, you might be thinking to yourself, wait, Leslie, does that mean you don't care about Asians? Yeah, you're right. I could care less about Asians. That's a joke. That's a joke. Please do not. That's a joke. I say that affectionately. This year, the discourse, the discussions, the conversations around Asian identity during Asian Heritage Month have gotten so absurdly, oh my god, racist, that it feels like, even if I did not want to talk about it, and I don't want to talk about it, there's nothing else really happening in my brain other than my, like, horrible anxiety. And so I gotta talk about this. It's either open up on the program and treat you, the listener, like my therapist, which is unhealthy, or it's to dispel these ideas around Asian identity. Again. Listen, this is going to sound like a dig, but I want to be very clear with you. I'm a late millennial East Asian woman. I've been having conversations around Asian identity for, especially on and during Asian Heritage Month, for over 15 years, probably. And every year, it's just the qualms are the same, and the solutions, the pathway to liberation remains the same as well. It needs to be steeped in a historically placed political struggle that a lot of the folks who are the loudest this year, who were the loudest this year during Asian Heritage Month, very clearly are allergic to. And listen, I am but one Asian person, okay? And I have a lot of social privileges and even sociologically political privileges. Even in my embodiment of being an Asian person, I'm very light-skinned, I'm East Asian, I have a post-secondary education, so on and so forth. I am but one person, and yet, somehow, not to brag, I feel a little bit more capable, a little bit, you know, better at discussing the complexities and nuances of Asian identity more than these folks who are doing their little Weijian meetups. Oh my god. If you are a white Asian mixed race person today on Typically Tuesdays, you're going to become very uncomfortable. And I want you to embrace that. Because remember, I'm on your side. I too am Asian. We need to be looking out for each other. We need to be looking out for our other Asian siblings. And this is what today's episode of the program is about. Let's talk about the complexities of being an Asian person. Ooh, especially during Asian Heritage Month. As always, we're going to listen to some music on today's show. Here is Nemesis with Delusion on Typically Tuesdays on CGSF 90.1 FM.
When I deleted your number, convinced myself I've forgotten. Still my fingers added up to yours. Your voice automated, imprinted in my decisions. Yeah, I still need you to reassure. Thank you. recover.
This is Bird Note. I'm Deja Perkins, an urban ecologist, and I'd like to give you a crash course on urban birding. There's nothing like the sound of the eastern towhee reminding you to drink your tea first thing in the morning. In the eastern U.S., these are not birds you have to travel far to see. In fact, you can see the eastern towhee and many other birds just by taking a walk around your neighborhood. One of the reasons I love birds is that you don't have to go far to find them. You can sit on your porch, at your local park, or even in the parking lot of your favorite store, and you will find birds. All it takes is at least 5 minutes of mindfulness. If you don't see anything right away, don't be discouraged. Remember to look up. Maybe you will catch a vulture soaring overhead on a warm, breezy day, or the flash of red on a red-tailed hawk as it soars by. Check the power lines, light poles, and tops of buildings for the electric blue flash of the eastern bluebird. Close your eyes. Listen. Past the sounds of the cars and the traffic. Past the sounds of people chatting nearby. Do you hear it? Drink your tea. This week is Blackbirders Week. To learn how to participate, follow the hashtag Blackbirders Week on social media and visit birdnote.org. I'm Deja Perkins.
You're listening to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Do you remember a few weeks ago I was talking about birding on the show? And one of the things that I mentioned that made me love birding is the fact that you have to come to like a plane of like mindfulness in order to truly have a fulfilling birding experience. Deja and I have a lot in common, I'm sure. Right now, we're talking about the complexities of Asian identity. And listen, again, don't want to be doing the show today. It is June. It is early June, but technically we've already transitioned from the Asian month to the gay month. Should be, if anything, talking about gay stuff, you know? Thankfully, I do not subscribe to the capitalist urges of needing to be on theme on everything all the time at every month. Case in point, I am Asian every single day. Case in point, I am also gay every single day. But hey, if you were like, I should support in some way. I should support Asian heritage in some way. I should support pride in some way. Go over to cjsf.ca, hit that donate button. You can donate twice, once for Asian Heritage Month, once for Pride. Heck, you can donate a third time too, because did you notice? I didn't do any special programming for Women's History Month. You know, your donation can motivate me and encourage me to do so as a queer Asian woman. Consider that. Think about that, huh? Yeah, cjsf.ca. Hit that donate button. On the show today, let's talk about, the complexities of Asian identity. Mind you, again, I am only but one East Asian person. But today, I think, is a time for me to, like, share what I have learned throughout the years around this particular topic. And how frustrating it can sometimes feel in my many years of having these conversations to be confronted with people who are continue to center whiteness in their discussion of Asian identity. If you are not familiar with what specifically I'm talking about, essentially, it begins, in my opinion, it begins kind of like at the beginning of the year of 2026, when people were suddenly becoming very interested in celebrities, athletes, musicians who are mixed race, white, and Asian, particularly mixed race, white, and East Asian, though not all the time, primarily. So there is a sudden desirability of in the mainstream to be cool like Lisa Leo, to be hot like Hudson Williams, to be charming and magnetic, specifically like Lafi Leve. I don't really know how to pronounce her name. I'm sorry. To be charismatic and cool like Megan Scandal from Cat's Eye, and so on and so forth. And in the month of May, folks in major cities in Canada and the U.S. Decided to create meetups and gatherings of fellow mixed-raced Asian people. And they would advertise this around town, on social media. In practice, what ended up actually happening was that these events that were originally advertised and promoted to be meetups of mixed-raced Asian people ended up changing its tone and saying that it was going to be meetups of specifically Asian people, white, Asian, mixed-raced people. Although there were some mixed-raced Asian people who showed up who were not mixed-raced with white, for example, there were some black Asian people who showed up, and so on and so forth, the majority of those who participated in these events were specifically light-skinned, white, and Asian mixed-race people. That caused a little bit of a stir online amongst Asian American communities, particularly amongst mixed race Asians, because there were questions around where the rest of the mixed race Asians are in this particularly light-skinned, particularly East Asian, particularly Southeast Asian, and particularly emphasize on particularly white event. I'm not a mixed race Asian. And so there are some things that I don't necessarily feel are appropriate for me to discuss. There are a lot of mixed-raced Asian folks who have already touched upon the complexities of this event or these events already. For example, Ryan Alexander Holmes and also musician Mad Sai, Elliot Tsang, who's, I don't know, what is he, like a streamer or something? They've already made very good discussion points around this already. This episode of the show specifically is about racialization and how to try to decenter whiteness in Asian identity and explorations of it. This gets complicated right from the jump because Asia itself, right on the map, okay, that is a colonial concept. The drawing of this continent was not dictated by people of that continent. It was dictated by Europeans. It also happens to be the largest continent in the world, which means that from east to west, from north to south, very, very, very different people live in those places. What makes it even more complicated, is that while Westerners would situate countries in Asia as being of the East, many Westerners would not easily identify a person who is, let's say, Arab from Iraq to be an Asian person. They're more likely to think of a person from Macau to be Asian, because the ways that people have conceptualized Asia beyond the map and in a more social sense is that Asian people look like me. And you don't know what I look like, but essentially Asian people look like East Asians. And I think for a very long time, what most people in the mainstream, and including East Asian people, we just assumed that Asian people were East Asians. Sometimes they were Southeast Asian, not all the time. I remember when I was younger, having these conversations around Asian identity with other people, you know, a lot of people were calling out East Asian folks who were being exclusionary of Southeast Asian people in their discussions of this very concept. And it is in the past 10 or so years that I have noticed a greater effort by organizers of Asian Heritage Month events and other events having to do with Asianness, that they have started to want to expand the face. Can I say that? Maybe the representations of Asian identity to include South Asians as well, and Central Asians, and also folks from West Asia. At the same time, there is still this tension, though. If we are defining Asianness by what is on the map, which again is a colonial concept, to what extent are we flattening the experiences of the people who live in very different ways throughout all over the places on that map, right? The other question to raise then is also, is suddenly being included into Asian Heritage Month when you are a person who has historically kind of been not as included in it, does that happen with your consent, essentially, or does that happen with consultation and thoughtful discussion with your own community, right? To be a little bit vulnerable here, and again, I'm just one person. If you have thoughts on this, please let me know. You can reach me on email. I'm typicallytuesdays@gmail.com, or you can send me a text. I will read your text message, 778-782-2573. You can text the station. That way, your thoughts. One of the things that I sometimes feel quite unsure of is, for example, curating an Asian musicians playlist for Typically Tuesdays, which spans musicians who have roots in all over the continent, whether or not that in itself could potentially flatten the experiences of people who have not been traditionally conceptualized by the West as being Asian, not as being Eastern, mind you, kind of different things. Read Orientalism by Edward Said, but specifically Asian as being conceptualized in the minds of the West as being specifically East Asian, having a very specific type of phenotype. I've had conversations with friends and colleagues who are, for example, Afghan, like Pashtun Afghans. I've had conversations with folks who are Iranian and asked them how they feel about being suddenly thought of as Asian, being included in Asian Heritage Month and Asian identity-centric things, when historically they have had their own conceptualization of their identities and who is included in those in that community. In these discussions, most of what I'm understanding is that it does not hurt to be included in these festivities, but it also feels like it comes out of nowhere because I've already thought of myself as being Persian, or I've already thought of myself as being Afghan, right? And so sometimes to me, the tensions of racialization and the ways in which people who are who are racialized use tools of colonialism to kind of like define and redefine themselves. I think so much of that, I think that is so interesting because, to be very frank with you, in the many years that I have celebrated Asian Heritage Month, nobody ever thought of Palestinian people as being Asian until a few years ago when somebody realized that, hey, if we as Asian people want to celebrate us and celebrate our cultures and our liberation, we also need to be supporting the liberation of Palestine. And while I do not necessarily think that that's a bad thing, I think actually everybody should be supporting the liberation of Palestine. But the timing of that was interesting. And it revealed some, I think, long-held oversights about the ways that a lot of Asian people think about their identity in conjunction with liberation and political struggle, while at the same time also overlooking, I think, some other factors of colonialism that it's worth for us to be thinking about. It's not to say that we should exclude anyone, but it is to allow ourselves to sit with uncomfortable questions around the colonial realities of what it means to be an Asian person and the ways in which racialization impacts us in this world. Because I think the truth of being a racialized person in the West is that I myself, as an East Asian person, I am racialized a little bit differently than my friend who might be South Asian. I am racialized a little bit differently compared to my friend who might be Southeast Asian. To do this, it also means that we have to recognize the ways in which colonialism has impacted all of us, and recognize also the ways in which colonialism gives us tools to align ourselves with certain communities, even if they are just like our own racialized communities. Colonialism will never make it easy for non-white people and colonized people to identify ourselves and to conceptualize exactly who we are in a way that is removed from colonialism. A lot of the times we will have to identify and conceptualize ourselves using the tools of colonialism. That doesn't mean that the ways in which we do it are not empowering.